Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Greetings, greetings, come one, come all.
Bring out your dead.
It's a plague episode. Not really, it's just episode 28. How you doing, Tom?
I'm top notch, it's 28 days later.
Oh yeah, good one, even better. And 28 days have February, but we're recording this in May. Still May?
Good to know for next year, though.
Very good.
It's not a leap year, so it's valid.
True. Good point. Oh, my gosh. We've got so many stories that we need to talk about in terms of news stories, stuff that we've watched. We'll have a quiz at the end, as we always do.
Yep.
Fear the Walking Dead today, though.
No, but we're still going to be busier than a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad. I've been watching stuff with Nick Cummins.
Love it. That's very good. Well, really quickly, I was just looking on Twitter just before and...
Was there some news?
There were a few different news stories. Number one is that Bethesda, on their Twitter account, has got Please Stand By. And it looks very Fallout-y. See?
Sure.
Have a look at that. Very Fallout-y.
It does.
Now, at this point of recording, it hasn't been sort of suggested what this is. They haven't revealed it. But I want to bear in mind that E3 is coming up very soon, which
very
is
true,
the big
yes.
gaming event in LA every year,
yep.
where a lot of new games are released. And also, I did notice that the 10-year anniversary of Fallout 3 is coming up in October.
Oh, okay.
So it could be a remaster.
Yeah. Sure. They've just done Far Cry 3 remaster. That's coming out next week.
Oh, that'll be fun. I like that one.
Yeah,
in fact, I liked Fallout 3 and Far Cry 3.
Honed.
Very fun games.
They know what
games.
They're doing by that point.
I still remember the end of both games, which is pretty impressive because
yeah.
it means that I finished them.
Yeah.
Well, at least the storyline.
But you couldn't not go and stop Vaas on Far Cry
3. No, you had to go right through to the end.
Very compelled.
Speaking of going right through to the end, I finished Far Cry 5.
Well done.
Storyline.
I have not.
I think you might just have a bit of fun just playing the game.
Yeah, I've
the world.
Kind of lost a bit of attention.
The storyline was the end. I just went, oh, really?
I liked fighting John, and then I had to go and fight that Bliss chick. And
yeah,
just
she was a bit annoying. Yeah. Yeah, the world itself is probably the most exciting part about
sure.
Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
Another news story that I saw on Twitter. Oh, Twitter's gone crazy today with all the news about Ms. Roseanne and the show Roseanne.
What's happened?
Okay, so she said some pretty gross things in a tweet about, I think it was Obama's aide, Valerie Jarrett. Now, I don't know who she is.
Sure.
But she sort of said some pretty yucky things, has since deleted that tweet.
Okay.
But not before ABC canned the show.
Good.
Now, this has annoyed, as you can imagine, the cast and crew. And I didn't realize that Sarah Gilbert, a.k.a. Darlene, is actually an executive producer of the program, and she is not happy. She said Roseanne's recent comments about Valerie Jarrett and so much more are abhorrent and do not reflect the beliefs of our cast and crew or anybody associated with our show, and she's really disappointed with the actions, and it's very sad and difficult for all of us as they believe that they created a show that they could be proud of and that audiences loved. And Roseanne's in one tweet has managed to ruin the jobs of many people. So, well done.
John Goodman will be right, I'm sure.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Sarah Chalk will be right. And plenty
She'll
of them
be fine.
Don't need Roseanne.
Well, I think if I am correct, Sarah Gilbert was on a talk show anyway.
Yeah, is The View or something like that.
Yeah,
one of those
something
ones.
Like that. Yeah.
Everyone's plenty busy.
Yeah.
Laurie Graham, she wouldn't be too busy. Yeah,
Laurie Metcalf.
Sorry, Laurie.
Yeah, she's, Laurie Graham, isn't that a Gilmore Girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew the name.
I get my favourites confused.
So that's sort of new news as of when we're recording this. That's kind of a shame that people manage to put a gross shadow over shows that, a lot of people have loved throughout the years.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of people were just waiting for it to happen. She sprouts a lot of conspiracy and weird stuff.
Big on Twitter. She said she's leaving Twitter, but I don't know about that. Another story I saw is that Daniel Craig's confirmed as James Bond again.
Sure.
No big surprise.
Do we know who's directing? Was it Danny Boyle directing this one?
Yes. So he'll be there. So this is, it's been called Bond 25, so I assume that it's the 25th Bond.
Correct.
Yeah. Can't believe there's that.
I don't think it counts Jimmy Bond, which was...
I have no idea what Jimmy Bond is.
I think it was Woody Allen or someone. It was like a piss take way back in
the day. Yeah, right. Oh, kind of like Spaceballs is to Star Wars.
Yeah.
I have no idea how I don't know that show movie exists. So he's rumoured to be getting $150 million if he signed on for a couple of Bond movies.
I'm sure he'll act the part begrudgingly.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't want to do it anymore.
I don't understand. I don't understand the allure of him as James Bond.
I don't get it at all.
Like he's all right.
People think I'm a heathen to say this, but I think my favourite James Bond is Pierce Brosnan because his was just about so much bullshit gadgets and extreme 90s-ness of skiing while texting. Things
which
like that.
Should be illegal. Mm. And a lot of people are Roger Moore fans, even though that was super crazy, that era of Bond.
Hands up the one person that picks Timothy Dalton.
Crickets. Yeah. And not even the crickets have got their hands up. Nope. Yeah, but, I mean, why would you not agree to sign on for a couple more for that much money?
And it's not like you've got to do makeup or tons of costuming or... Sure, you've got to be a bit ripped, but...
You probably would have been anyway if you were Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah. $150 million to do for two films. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Speaking of amount of money that movies have made, did you see that Solo performed under Disney's expectations?
A fair bit under.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much under. So they wanted to take over sort of that long weekend over in the US between $130 and $150 million. I think they got about probably just over 80.
Yeah, I think it was about 83.
Yeah, which is, that is a lot less.
Yeah, that's poor.
Really poor.
Yeah, I think only maybe The Phantom Menace was the only other Star Wars film that's opened smaller.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
maybe Attack of the Clones.
That's awkward. I mean, but it had big names like, you know, Donald Glover had just done all of that stuff beforehand.
He's not a big name.
I guess he's not a big name. But you had Emilia Clarke, Thady Newton, Woody Harrelson. There were big, and, you know, the guy who plays Solo. Is it because it's not Harrison Ford playing Solo?
I think it's a combination of a few things. I think it's, one, it's not Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And two, the trailers and ads did not sell him as a good Harrison Ford impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, it's only 5 months since The Last Jedi came out, and it left a really fucking bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Solo. I'm not fussed. I don't care.
You wouldn't bother checking it out at the movies?
No. God, no.
Maybe
when it comes out, I'll check it out then.
Isn't that a shame, though? I mean, you know, for people who love Star Wars, who saw The Last Jedi, and like you, it was tainted for you not to feel that excitement. Do you feel a bit sad about that?
No.
Really? You're okay? You're just happy to move on?
Look, if I didn't have Marvel or other people doing it better, then I'd be stressed and bummed out and stuff like that. But just they're trying to copy what Marvel's done over the last few years. Mm. And they didn't make it clear with Solo where this fit in. You know, it wasn't entirely, is this just before A New Hope? Is this 10 years before? Where does this connect? And
I have heard a bit of confusion that has been cast. I won't give any spoilers away, but a character from the prequels appears.
Yep.
And that has really thrown people as to exactly where this is sitting.
I know who you were talking about.
Yeah. From what I've heard, it's not explained.
No, if you'd watched Star Wars Rebels or Clone Wars, the TV stuff, then I know who you're talking about because of where this film takes place makes the most sense that particular person would appear.
Okay.
But I also understand why that would throw so many people off because we've seen one thing at one stage where that person seems to be resolved and then they're back, but different.
Yeah. Okay. So if you were to sort of delve into the lore, it would make a little more sense.
Very much so.
But they just don't care to explain. Look, this was always going to happen in this Disney Star Wars era where they're pumping out so many Star Wars movies. There was going to be ones that people are like, and there's also going to be the point where people are like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happened yet.
I think the main films are going to do great.
Yeah.
Continue to do great. I think if they really pick cleverly who these side character stories are.
Like, and you would think Han Solo would be the perfect pick for it.
Like Rogue One, I think, works so well because those characters, we never see them again.
No.
So it gives us a pretty good idea of how this mission's going to play out. So we're instead watching for the other shoe to drop and things to go south. Whereas Han ain't going to die. Chewie ain't going to die. Lando ain't going to... like
the stakes aren't there.
No. And so hello background characters clearly introduced to propel these characters forward. And so it makes it very difficult to invest and feel like, I don't... if I was to pick a character to get a prequel story, Han would not be it.
People are now... well, not now. People have been wanting the Boba Fett one.
Well, that character that you're talking about that appears makes total sense if they were to do a Boba Fett one next for the setup done in this film of where he's at.
So that's at least a bit of interest going forward.
Yes.
Perhaps an explanation.
I think if I was in charge of this stuff, I would make it so that the standalone films are always either about the dark side or the scum and villainy side.
Yeah.
Because that's so, like, give us a bounty hunter movie. Mm. Just the six bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back. Have them got to go out on some terrible mission.
I want that lizard bloke. What's
Bosk,
his name?
Yeah. With three S's, I think, in the
Wookie
middle.
Can never have enough.
I'd love some dark stuff with them. Or a whole a film set in Jabba's palace. Or something. You know
nice.
What I mean? Something dirty, scummy.
Yeah.
Where the stakes are high. And we
for
know.
Them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I wasn't excited about Han a year ago, and I'm less excited now.
After hearing about
after
it.
After hearing how it went.
We are the Watchers. Now, the voice cracked. Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've had enough. Toodaloo.
You know what I am excited about?
What?
There's a new podcast starting about The Good Place.
What?
It's the official Good Place podcast. And it's hosted by Mark Evan Jacobs, I believe his name is, who plays Sean the demon, the really deadpan guy.
Yeah.
Yes, who's also on Brooklyn Nine-Nine as the captain's husband.
Isn't he currently reading The New Yorker?
Yes, always. Yes, it's a new podcast. I believe it's coming out weekly. The first one should be dropping Thursday or Friday this week. There was a teaser last week for it. But amazing. It's going to be episode by episode analysis with him.
And I would imagine they'll get the cast in there.
They're going to tell stories from the set and lots of behind-the-scene tidbits of, I'm hoping, things to watch out for.
I'm really excited about that.
I'm so amped.
Yeah, that's great. And I would imagine it'll be already the second the episode is released, the podcast will be released as well.
Oh, yeah. Sense. Well, they're going to go back and do it from the beginning. So they're going to cover off the first two seasons and then... I think if they're doing it weekly, that should bring us back pretty much when they're due to come back on the air for season three.
Ready for the end of summer.
Yeah.
That would probably not only get people amped, but have people rewatching the older episodes again.
Oh, hell yeah. I went and rewatched season one before season two started because of that twist.
Yeah, the twist.
So good.
I watched, you were speaking about, were you even speaking about Community or in my head were you?
I think it was in your head.
Donald Glover,
yes.
Yeah, that's where I went. I saw Netflix had a new movie up called Ibiza, or as you're supposed to pronounce it, Ibiza.
Ibiza.
But they called it Ibiza during the whole film. It's got Gillian Jacobs from Love and Community. And I thought, I like her in Love. Like, she's pretty cool. The movie is silly.
Okay.
But it's got some good gags in it, some good jokes. It actually had me laughing out loud and I was watching it by myself. Now, usually, I don't know about you, but if I'm watching something by myself, it's hard to get an actual proper chuckle out of
me. It's got to work harder to get it out of you.
Yeah, yeah. And there were some bits that just had me laughing. So if you want a lighthearted movie for the weekend or even a midweek movie and you've got Netflix, watch it. It's basically about her. She was supposed to go to Spain, Barcelona, for work, and her two friends decided they had to tag along and make it more of a holiday.
No.
Anyway, they end up, the whole thing is pretty much a one-nighter. They just don't go to bed and they end up in Ibiza chasing a DJ from Scotland. He's got very wrinkly forehead.
Is it Calvin Harris?
No, but I think it's supposed to be.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's Scottish.
He is Scottish. So a fun movie, and I think it's one of their latest. I think it was only out earlier this week or a week ago or something. So you'll probably see it up there in the new releases. What else have you been watching?
Oh, what else? A couple of different things. So Timeless had their finale.
How was that?
It was really good.
Yeah?
It's still up in the air as to whether or not they're coming back for a season three, but it ended quite finally for one character.
Okay.
But whether that sticks or not, it's a time travel show.
I know. Nothing is for real.
That's right. So this season they've played with a similar sort of thing as they did on Lost with Desmond seeing flashes of Charlie's death. One character's been witnessing another character's death because they were unstuck from time and blah, blah, blah.
Not a good omen.
It did happen. Uh-huh. Someone got shot. It looks like someone died. They're time travelers. Future versions of themselves come back, open the door, and they're like, do you want to go and save Rufus? So I'm like, shit, yeah. Let's do this.
Yes, we do.
It's like Terminator 4 versions coming back, like war versions of themselves from the future coming back.
Yep.
So that was pretty sweet. I am hoping it comes back. It's one of those shows that every time it seems to get cancelled or like be about to get cancelled, they really pull their socks up and throw out a barnstormer of an episode.
Where's it from? I mean, who?
NBC.
Is, okay, yeah. And how many seasons is it up to now?
So they've done two seasons, and I believe each of them was, I think the first one might have been 13, and then the second one was 10 episodes.
Oh, okay. So they really are on shaky ground.
Yeah, it's a bubble show, and they quite often use it to fill the gaps between other programs and stuff like that.
It's kind of a shame if it's a great show with a great premise for it to sort of be used in that way.
Yeah, but I'll take it where I get it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think it's one of the shows that gets a lot more viewers the day or week after rather than on air live.
It might be, and that could possibly be because they keep using it as filler.
Yeah, everyone just records it and then sits down Friday night and hits play.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I've been hitting record on a few movies that I've seen just on offer. I don't even know what Foxtel movie channel. I've just decided to hit record on a whole few, so I've got a lot to get through. And one of them, which I haven't watched yet, I mean, I've seen before, but I haven't watched this time round, is Naomi Watts's Mulholland Drive. Do you remember ever watching that?
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching that the first time. Yeah, and just being so confused. And the second time going, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a good idea of it now.
Nah.
And then I still didn't. And now I'm hoping that with a third watch, with many years in between, I might come out with a better understanding. Or I might just show up next week and just go, Tom, I still don't know what happened.
Nah,
I don't know what's going on.
I think there's a version of it where someone's re-edited it to be a lot more linear.
Oh, yeah?
That might be floating around on YouTube or something like that. Look, I watched that a lot back in uni days.
Yeah. Desperately trying to find the link?
Nah, just sitting on a couch.
Okay,
Just comfortable. Enjoying. Hey, it's on again. Let's watch it again.
Yeah.
I think that's where I first found out about Justin Theroux.
Oh, right. Yes.
He's in that, isn't he?
Because I'm just trying to think of what else I would have seen him in, you know, back around that era. And it probably would have been Charlie's Angels, and I'm pretty sure that was after.
Yeah.
After Mulholland Drive.
There's still that period where I was getting him and Ty Burrell very confused.
Yeah, I can see that. And then it was years afterwards, I think it was more sort of his Jennifer Aniston stage, where I thought, Theroux, cousins. They're cousins.
Louis
and Justin. I enjoyed understanding that link as soon as I decided to Google. I'm like, yes, finally. All the Theroux's are related.
I saw an ad that Louis Theroux is going to be on Julie Zemira's show soon.
Yeah, so that'll be really good. So the show is sort of like Who Do You Think You Are?
Yep.
Sort of, in that they'll get a well-known person, like a celebrity, or Louis Theroux, who is a celebrity. And instead of following the history of your ancestors, it's following the history of that person.
Cool.
So she'll take him back to, I assume, his
it looks like
childhood
his
home.
High school, which is
great. Yeah, high school.
A few of his friends went on to become comedians.
That's
as well,
right.
Adam
yeah.
and Joe.
So I wonder if they make a little appearance.
I'm hoping so. It's not like Adam's particularly busy. He records podcasts and tours, and that's about it.
Yeah, fair enough. But what if he has to edit the podcast? He's not very good at it. Could take him all week.
Oh, he doesn't edit.
Oh, fair enough.
He has a guy.
Oh, he's got a guy.
He's got a guy.
Yeah, I think I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, but I watched the Rebecca Gibney episode. And, yeah, it's just great to have an insight of people like that.
I got a cool insight. On a show, I've talked about Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
Yes.
This week he had Lena Headley.
a.k.a. Cersei.
Cersei.
Lannister from Game of Thrones.
She is a combination of as tough as you would think.
Yeah.
And yet has this nervous laugh.
Really?
About everything.
Oh, is it a bit annoying?
No, because you feel for her. They spend a night sleeping under a parachute on an island that's been called Spider Island.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
There's a few episodes. I would imagine there are a few people who are not going to watch that episode.
Tarantula City. It's a lot of tarantulas crawling around. It looked pretty full on. But yeah, you know, doing that and eating rotting marrow from a lamb that had been killed and taken really high in the air and dropped by vultures.
Jeez, your stomach has to be pretty strong to go and hang out with Bear Grylls.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say. So she was nervous laughing about everything, but also dry heaving.
Yeah,
a lot.
Look,
I don't cope with dry heaving well. Someone does it, I start going.
It makes me laugh. So
he's like, "Oh, smell this! It smells pretty fresh."
Sorry,
listeners.
That's.
But it was a good episode.
Is she endearing?
Very much so.
I thought she'd be kind of wild.
Oh, she's wild. She's clearly a little bit crazy.
Yep.
In a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And has been through some struggles, and that has given her interesting shades, which she then informs her characters with.
Because she's been, like, I remember when Game of Thrones, when I first watched Game of Thrones, she was one of the actors that I went, oh, yeah, I've seen her in stuff.
She did 300.
All right. See, she's the kind of person that she's in stuff. Yeah. It's been a while since I've caught that one. So who else has been it? We've seen Gordon, Joseph Levitt.
Yeah, and Kerry Russell.
Or is it Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
As I was saying, I'm thinking, that's not right. That's not correct. Yeah. Okay, so he's getting interesting people that you definitely know.
Yeah, and this
is may not know that much about.
Well, this is season four, so he's getting a really solid tier of guests now.
Mm.
Some of the early seasons, it wasn't quite at, you know, Real Housewives of Atlanta, not that sort of thing. But
don't want to hear about them.
There's some big names, and I think he's intentionally curating people with interesting stories.
Yeah, okay.
There seems to be a running theme this season of people that have had some fame 10, 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
then a quieter period, and then have returned. So you've got, you know, Cersei, you've got Kerry Russell with mm-hmm. Felicity and things like that, took time off before coming back with the Americans.
Uh-huh.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who was a child star, took some time off before coming back with movies and everything like that.
Mm.
So that's, I think there's a bit of theming that goes on each season of a narrative, and so this might be the comeback kid season.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to think of who else they might grab in it. I watched Netflix Explain.
Ooh.
This one, I remember I watched a show, just a quick sort of skit show on iView earlier this year, and it was, I'd say most episodes are about 6 to 8 minutes long, and it was great. You know, you could watch a couple, you could watch several, depending on what you're in the mood for.
Yep.
And this show, Explained, the episodes are about 18 minutes long. They're not that long. Documentary. And each episode is a completely different topic.
Sure.
And they're releasing them weekly.
Okay.
I think there's about four potentially out on Netflix. There's one about the racial wealth divide gap, I guess you would call it, in the US, which was interesting. Designer DNA I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of, a few people they were interviewing were harping back to Gattaca. Remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ethan
Jude
Hawke.
Law, Ethan Hawke, and was Uma Thurman in it? Was
I think
it
so.
Uma?
It was either Uma or Gwyneth. I think it was Uma. What do you think, Gwyneth?
I think Gwyneth. Not, you can let us know.
Let us know.
Yeah, on Facebook.
Which late 90s...
blonde.
Yeah.
Tall blonde actress it was in. And one about monogamy and about humans and also apes as well.
Sure.
Like I said, 18 minutes-ish, totally digestible. You can watch one and then move on to something else because they throw a lot of information at you.
Sure.
A real lot of information.
That sounds very cool.
Really cool. And it's just sitting there for you, obviously, you to watch. Great.
I had a bit of designer DNA myself.
Did you
that
really?
Came out wrong. yeah, there's a program, it's from a couple of years ago called The Real Story. I think they've done about 5 seasons or something like that, and they go into the science behind the movies. So I'm getting real amped up for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which is something a week away.
Yeah, won't be. Yeah, not far off.
Not long at all. So I've been getting this up amped up with a bit of dino action and stuff like that. And it was a really interesting, you know, look at Jurassic Park in terms of the science of what they discussed. And, you know, the biggest takeaways were there should have been feathers on the dinosaurs. There should have been feathers.
Yeah.
We know they have feathers.
We've seen a dinosaur with feathers, yeah.
Dinosaurs are birds.
They're so cool.
If you don't like that or you don't agree, at me.
Yeah.
Fight me.
But why would you not agree?
Because they like being wrong.
you wrongers. That's what they're called.
But then a big section was about designer DNA and the way that, you know, the movie suggested that you could use amber to harvest captured DNA. You probably can't do that. But with, you know, they're already doing experiments with chickens of going in and turning genetic switches on and off, which already exist in there. And, you know, birds, in order to be so light when they're a four-day-old embryo or something like that, their spine starts to fuse together, so they have a lot less vertebrae than dinosaurs did. But you can go in and turn that genome marker off.
Oh, wow.
And things will exist. So they've been, they've created chickens with teeth or chickens with an elongated tail that will help balance and things like that. So they're not making a dinosaur. They're making a modified chicken, but that's exactly what Jurassic Park is. Those aren't dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Those are works of art.
They're hybrids of...
Yeah, they're guesstimation.
Recreations, yeah.
Yes.
Interesting theory, yeah. And so they could potentially do what Jurassic Park did, sort of, in that they could recreate what we think a T-Rex is based on changing of DNA in some sort of bird.
It's
obviously not that big.
I've read a lot about this over the years because I'm fascinated by it. It's captured my attention since a very young age.
Not the only one, yeah.
But with dinosaurs, the likely way we could do it, if we could, is to do the genomic sequencing and changing of markers and things like that and until we can actually understand and recreate an entire genomic structure, which... Yeah. We can't.
It's pretty big.
One day, maybe, if there's a super duper brain computer type thing. But things like woolly mammoths and stuff that only died out within the last couple of million years.
Humans were around, weren't they? When woolly mammoths were.
We have found much better DNA filled artifacts and things that we can use in that sense. So there's lots of experiments currently going on of impregnating. I think they're using an African elephant, impregnating an African elephant with mastodon sperm because mastodon's smaller. One of them had a hump on its head, like a big old bump. Mastodon, and the other one's woolly mammoth. They're a little bit different. Whichever's the smaller one is what they're putting in the African elephant, which is the biggest of the elephants.
Uh-huh.
And they're seeing if they can just basically make a woolly elephant.
So were woolly mammoths, were they bigger than our African?
Yep.
Ours, we own them. So how much bigger, do you know?
Oh.
Like, noticeably?
So I'm going to get yelled at if I'm wrong, but mastodon was smaller.
Yep.
If I'm wrong, flip it around the other way, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of them was smaller and about the size of an African elephant, maybe a female one, a little bit smaller, but the other one was quite a fair bit taller than that.
Okay.
A lot of that was this huge hump on its head.
Yeah, right.
Just made it a massive form, but it also had really strong forearms, so it stood very, very tall and had its back sloped.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. As someone who has recently read the Game of Thrones book, I don't even remember which one it is, where they at the wall they have the fight, the big war between the wall and the wildlings.
Yep,
it's quite a few mammoths in that, but the giants are way bigger.
Is one in that battle? I can't remember whether they don't get him until they go to Hammerhole.
Might be the next. Harrenhal. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Cool. Mammoths. Let's bring him back. And then the dragons, please.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Speaking of bring it back, Robot Chicken came back. It's been off for a while, so that's good. I caught a few shows that I'll say yes, and I caught one that I'll say no, don't bother.
Okay.
I got very excited. There was a show called Our Wild Family, and reading the description sounded like something I'd be really in for. Family, bunch of kids, huge property, take in rescue and shelter animals.
Nice. That
save anything they can.
Right up your alley.
80 or 85 different animals.
Wow. All different sorts.
So I thought, that sounds cool. I reckon I'm really in for that. Well, They, I cannot place exactly where they're from, but their accent made all of them sound like everyone on Eastbound and Down, like Kenny Powers.
Right.
And the main woman's name was Billy Joe.
Okay.
And that should give you an idea what sort of show we're talking about here. Here we go, back, big back, yo, we got all them ostriches. And I think I lasted 6 minutes. They had a baby zebra and a kangaroo that she insisted on carrying around like a child.
In
a pouch and everything like that. Yeah. This is my baby.
That's a thing.
Aaron loves my baby.
To kangaroo, but okay.
It was just a difficult. And then I bailed out because there was a point where she's like, and now I'm going to introduce our mammy. And she meant nanny.
Like a goat?
Well, no, like an African-American old lady who was the family's nanny. But I thought mammy was a bad.
That's not a thing you should say.
That's an Al Jolson thing, I think.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, this show is not for me. So there you go, Our Wild Family, not for me.
That's...
Sorry, yeah. Cruel Animals.
Well, speaking of Cruel Animals, I was walking back from getting the mail from the letterbox at home yesterday. Was it yesterday? Let's say yesterday.
Did an NPC give you that quest?
Yeah. No. And I went, oh, okay, I guess it'll be all right for some XP. And the driveway is quite long and is shared with other homes.
I have endured your driveway.
Exactly. It's horrible. Walking down, and my cat likes to come up with me, so he's trotting down as well. I'm like, please nobody drive down here because he doesn't understand the concept of cars.
Sure.
Because he's stupid. Not as stupid as the wallaby that was bounding up the driveway towards me. I'm like, holy cow, what is going on here? And the wallaby went, I'm not here. You know how they do that? I'm just going to pause and wait. Yeah, I'm just going to freeze.
Yeah.
I'm not here. And I went, okay. And cats, if there's a creature that's bigger than them, they either don't recognize it as something that they should chase or they just don't recognize it at all.
Sure.
He didn't even register the fact that there was a wallaby hopping towards
blanked
us.
Blanked him?
Yeah, he just blanked him. He wandered off back into the house and I went, oh, I really want to see this, how close this wallaby comes. Anyway, it decided to bound off in another direction but then saw me again and did a big pause. And I walked out 10 minutes later, it was still there, just frozen. They're not the smartest animals.
No.
They're not at all.
No.
And that story, because I know we've got quite a few people from the US who listen, that story is not normal. I know that you want it to be and that there's a lot of kangaroos hopping all over streets all through Australia.
Normally, it was a small one, wasn't it?
Because
it would be the big one so you can hop into the couch.
It's usually the big one, that's right. And then you get up the driveway without having to use your own legs, yeah. But this one wouldn't let me. Bizarre story.
Sounds like it was kangarooted.
Oh, very good.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Anything else that you watched before we jump into the spoiler bit, which will be Westworld and, for me, Handmaid's Tale?
Sure. Yeah, I can give a few quick ones. Flash finale happened.
And I did hear about this. I saw a couple of articles about it.
They used the power of heart.
Sounds like a Captain Planet thing.
Yeah, look, it wasn't my favourite of the finales, but I still thought it was kind of cool how they wrapped things up ready to go for next season. It wasn't. Normally they end with Barry's gone back and changed the past. What will the future be? Or he's created an alternate universe. What's going to happen or something? This is just someone from the future said something went bad. We got to maybe work it out. So I'm happy with that direction. It doesn't need. Maybe next year won't be quite as doom and gloom. I'll go back to being funnier. Which
it's nice to get those lighter seasons of shows.
Well, especially because Flash started out so light and funny and then it got more serious. As the stakes got higher, it got more serious and matured and got more responsibility. They now have DC Legends of Tomorrow can be the light, bouncy one. But I'd like it if Flash was halfway between that and Arrow.
Yeah.
I watched Drop the Mic.
How was that?
So this week they had a showdown for the ages, a showdown throwdown.
Ooh.
Mr. Bombastic, Shaggy himself.
No.
Up against Matthew Lillard, the man known for being Shaggy.
No.
So it was a Shaggy versus Shaggy.
It was a Shaggy off.
Uh-huh. It was so good.
Okay. So without giving us who the winner was.
Yeah.
Was there a strong lead or were they both sort of
teetering? They both brought it. And
amazing.
Much love to Matthew Lillard, who is the avatar of the 90s.
I haven't seen him for years.
He's been on Twin Peaks and doing some really cool
He was in Scream.
Actor stuff. He was in Scream. He was in She's All That. He was in Hackers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Everything goes back to Hackers. I don't know why.
Because it's so good. But no, Matthew Lillard, he's the man. I got a lot of love for him. He's done a lot of activist work, and he comes across very intelligent.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, he was so humble in this thing. Shaggy was big noting himself,
Matthew
Lillard was like, yeah, I'm here with Shaggy and Mr. M-E-T-H-O-D man, Wu-Tang in the house right next to me, and I'm representing middle-aged white guys everywhere. So that was great. And the other round was Sam Richardson, who you may know from Veep. He's also in Detroiters, and he's been in Office Christmas Party.
Yes, I know.
Up against Hanson, all three of them.
Oh, no way. Now, they're pretty talented. I don't know about rapping, but, you know, they're still doing music.
They are still having a turn.
Okay, yes.
Not a huge fan of their music. Yeah. I love their one song.
Yeah, that's the song.
That's the song.
But every now and then they appear and they'll do another song on some sort of morning show and you think,
they're still having a go. Yeah. Well done to them. Yeah. Taylor had a go at rapping.
Now, he's the singer, yeah?
They all sing.
Yeah, true, but he's like the main.
So he's the one that everyone thought was a hot girl. The main one, the middle one.
We all know now. Yep. Then you got the drummer and the older.
So the older brother wore sunglasses, did not rap, did not get involved.
He wasn't.
Just stood on stage and acted like a bouncer.
He's probably like, I'm just a dad. I don't know.
I don't like this. I don't want any part of it. And then the youngest one.
Yeah, the drummer.
Yeah, he could rap.
Okay.
And he did pretty good.
Okay, cool.
So that, it was.
Who is he up against? Who are they
Sam
up against?
Richardson.
Okay.
From Veep.
He'd be able to hold his own.
He's a really good improv actor from Detroit. He can rap.
Yeah, right.
And he done brung.
he done brung.
So that was real solid. And then, look, I watched some old stuff, whatever, because we've discussed it's that period of year where a lot of the new shows have wound down.
Yeah. It's
waiting
just
for
that
new
time
seasons. The next week or two, we should get a bit of pickup. But one show that I've been excited for a little bit for, it's called Joe Pera Talks With You. So Joe Pera is a comedy creation in the style of a Borat or...
Very nice.
Yes, he's a character that's lived in. And it's a guy who must be late 20s, but he dresses like a senior citizen.
Interesting.
And he has a voice that's very monotone and quite understated. And basically, his character is really old, gentle granddad, but in a young person's body.
And how does it fit?
Well, his show is called Joe Pera Talks To You, and each episode is a specific thing. He's a small-town high school teacher, choir teacher.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I've heard of this.
And you know, one episode Joe Pera talks about iron, and it's literally him presenting in home. I would like to tell you about the different geographic developments in this area. And while that sounds funny enough in itself, because it's a really weird juxtaposition, as he's doing these things and teaching these seminars and stuff like that, stuff in the world happens around him, and he's way too nice to respond properly. So while he's talking about iron, neighborhood kids set up a for sale sign in his front yard, and a large, boisterous family come knocking on the door, barge into the house, love it, insist on buying it. And he's like, the house isn't for sale. But he's too nice to throw them out and say no. And
so he manages to sell his own home whilst doing a talk about a particular topic.
Yeah, about rocks. Then the next episode talks about breakfast. And he spends a good 4 minutes arguing with himself about the benefits of pancakes versus waffles.
Oh, right. I wasn't sure if it was going to be the benefits of breakfast versus don't bother eating until you're hungry.
No, it was literally... Wow. He was getting him debating internally. 11-minute episodes, spending the whole time walking around talking to people about what he should have for breakfast. I don't know. There's no cynicism in it whatsoever. It's really optimistic, and he's just a good-hearted, nice character.
It sounds like the kind of character that would have and show. That would have started out on YouTube as a 3 or 4 minute video.
Yeah, so he's been doing this character for a while.
Okay.
And he's done a couple of Adult Swim specials that have been animated.
Oh, right.
He did one called Joe Pera Talks You to Sleep. I can confirm it will help you get to sleep.
Brilliant.
He's doing that. ASM?
I don't know.
He's doing that voice.
The one that just keep talking about.
I'm sorry to hear that you've been having trouble sleeping, but hopefully I can help you.
Wow. How many times have you watched that episode? Every night.
It holds up really well. But yeah, Joe Pera talks with you. I'm really digging it so far. I've seen three episodes of this
new
show.
It sounds so quirky.
It's very quirky, and it's not really like anything else. Mm. Kind of feels like a... I don't want to say Burke's Backyard because that has connotations now. But when you're a kid of watching that show, if someone just educate you and excited about
learning.
What
about Gardening Australia?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
With the bloke from Tasmania, whose name I can't remember.
Hugh Farnsworth, Betty.
Sure. Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been watching?
Nah, not much else of note. I watched a show from years ago called Your Hole, spelled YOU'RE, as in you are whole. Mm. And it's like a fake infomercial series themed around Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Self-empowerment.
Yeah, big jaw.
Yeah, comedy. That's pretty funny. And then I watched the first episode of a show called Doucheaholics, which is the support group for douche bags.
Brilliant. That's so good.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I think there were 7-minute episodes or something like that. Probably won't keep up with the rest, but it was...
7-minute episodes, totally doable.
I got the joke. Yeah. I enjoyed it once. Yeah.
And it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Spoiler time?
Spoiler time.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Well, let's quickly... I think Westworld needs to be spoken about first.
It does.
This show is ridiculously good. Every episode, it demands more respect from me. Also, can we just do another shout out to Thady Newton?
Sure.
Obviously, I'm not Japanese, and I'm also not fluent in it, but to me, it seems like she comes across speaking it effortlessly.
Well, she threw out a bit of Ghost Nation language this episode as well, speaking to the Native American Indians.
That's right. Yeah.
She's all about that multilingual.
She's so good. She'll be speaking Dothraki soon.
Yeah.
It's so super confusing. She's just, I mean, her character is great, but I think her character is as great as the character can be because she is portraying the character.
And I think her character is going to take swerves and deviate further from the path now.
It is, yeah. And I now feel, after the last couple of episodes, maybe 3 episodes, I feel like this show is actually about Maeve.
Sure.
I do. Having said that, we got that nice little twist at the end of this episode where I went, yes, hello, Mr. Returning.
Yeah, well, it kind of makes me wonder. So I know we're supposed to wonder whether Dolores, Maeve, these characters that are supposedly awake, whether they are actually awake or whether they're just running the programming, Ford's programming.
And Dolores, I feel, is very much giving off that ambiguous feel.
Yeah, well, she could very well just be running her Wyatt programming again, like returning to the old character that she used to be at the very start.
Yeah, because it almost feels like she is directionless in that she only has this one idea, but there's no real end goal. It's just I need to go to there.
Yeah, we need to find their world and then we'll take their world.
Yeah.
But how?
But I don't understand what the world is. I've seen it a couple of times.
Teddy seems pretty cranky with her.
Oh, yeah. That's, I thought Teddy would be. Yeah, I thought it would be a vast change this episode, and I guess it was his character, but I think it's going to be more of a slow burner. He's going to slowly change.
She didn't wipe him first. Normally when they change a personality, they wipe them first and then upload the new settings, whereas she left him with all the memories, so he's looking at her resenting her for the for the change.
It's been, yeah, she has taken him for granted recently, and
that sword fight was amazing.
So good. It was so good. It didn't need to be any longer than it was.
No, it was just if you're going to spend a little bit of time in Shogun World, we want to see a dope sword fight.
We were waiting for it.
Got it. We got it. It was Harikari.
Yes.
A little bit of that. That's head lopping.
Yeah.
Good times.
Lose your hand.
I don't ever want to go down a dead body tube.
No, thanks. And the noise when he hit the...
Oh, awful.
So good. I now am, it happens every episode, but I'm now excited about next episode, next week, so that I can find out more about Ford.
Sure. We should get some damn answers.
Man, I love seeing the dog. Greyhound?
I was going to say, the dog is what tipped.
Yeah.
I want to say Bernard. We don't know 100% that's Bernard, but we're pretty sure it's Bernard.
Yeah.
I want to see if we go back through other episodes where the Greyhound tips things off.
Or we could just not bother watching the episodes and go on the internet because someone will have written a Reddit.
Sure, yeah, give it a day or two and that'll all be up there. But I just mean, now that we know that the greyhound's an indicator,
yes.
There's got to be some other clues hidden somewhere.
And have we seen the greyhound outside of Westworld?
Sure.
Potentially.
Well, what I mean is, I don't think we've seen the greyhound in Westworld because what we were seeing at the end Westworld. That was...
Yeah.
Mental Westworld, brain Westworld, whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, it was sort of where you...
It's transcendence.
Yeah, it's the Matrix.
Yeah. Well, he's achieved singularity. He's uploaded himself.
He's done it. Nothing else to comment about.
We're going
to
see if he goes full Lawnmower Man.
You would imagine he's going to get to the brink at least.
I just love the fact that we're now basically seeing what if Walt Disney installed himself into Disneyland after he died instead of cryogenically frozen.
Look, there were two options and he went with the frozen one.
Take your head, upload yourself to It's a Small World.
Yeah, that would be all right. Better than the teacups. Oh, I always go back to the teacups. Yeah, that just makes too much. So how many more episodes have we got? Are we halfway through?
I believe that was episode 6.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so 4 more.
Yeah. So things will start escalating pretty quickly.
You should hope so. We're now at that episode finished 1 week after the end of last season and 1 week before the future stuff that we've seen this season.
Exciting.
So we've got some more gaps to fill in there.
Got quite a few gaps. The introduction, well, not really the introduction, we have seen her, but more of the daughter.
Sure.
Was all right. I thought I was going to be more interested in that storyline than I was, though.
Sure, I just knew it was going to have a disappointing payoff because there's no way that kid would remember her.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it just weirdly ended her with kidnapping her not daughter.
Yeah, her not daughter, because daughter doesn't know who she is. I'm just wondering if is it a plot flaw or is it leading to something else? Because if Maeve is so self-aware, and not just of herself but of the world, how was that not a thought process that went through?
I think...
That she went through, I mean.
Look, I think it's tying back to that thing she kept saying this week of everyone deserves a choice. Everyone deserves their own choice, even if that leads to death.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So it means chasing that ridiculous dream to completion. Yeah. So
and now she's done it.
She's done it. And I think either that will complete the programming that she was running at the moment or...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think
it'll help her see the cracks and step through them.
Next week. Because I haven't seen a next week preview yet.
I don't know. I can't remember if there was one at the end of the episode. There was no previously on this episode.
Oh, that's true.
There was no catch up. It was just pure
episode. It just went
episode.
Straight in. Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Speaking of previouslys, Handmaid's just finished the episode with a bang.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
A boom crash opera.
Literally, yeah. Wow. We don't know how many people have died in that explosion. And a lot of them were the blokes in charge of Gilead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Handmaid decided she'd been through enough. She was part of May Day and... she'd lost her tongue for talking about stuff too much.
Whoops.
So she had spent all of this season not being able to say anything, and she just walked straight into that. They were doing a grand opening of a brand new handmaid's facility.
Sure.
Which they'd taken a uni over. Well, you know, no one's doing anything there. It was all made into this beautiful big handmaid's facility. And the handmaids were forced to stand on the outside of the opening ceremony. And she just walked in, ran down the middle, grenade in hand.
Boom crash.
Yeah. That's as much as we saw. A couple of good little flashbacks. We've got more of an idea of other characters' motivations with their backstory line, which I think I've been wanting for quite a while.
Yep.
And yeah, I told you that there had to be something big that was going to happen, so that not just Ofred, but all the handmaids and everybody would start to feel hope. And I think this was it. This is a good turning point, because this is sort of halfway through this season as well.
Yeah. Nice.
So exciting.
Awesome.
Very, very good. Oh, we're watching stellar shows at the moment. We're so lucky.
Goodness. I love it.
We're just so lucky. And speaking of luck, are you ready to take some chances in the quiz?
Hang on. I'm just prepared. Yep. I'm ready in the chair.
Funnily enough, we have accidentally referenced a couple of these.
Ooh.
Already.
Funnily enough.
Yeah, I know. It's called Which Came First, the Movie or the TV Show?
Oh, okay.
So we usually do about five or six. We got six today.
Sure.
Charlie's Angels.
TV show.
It was a TV show. 1976, it started with Farrah Fawcett, and I think 2000 was when the first Charlie's Angels movie came out.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Charlie's with Destiny's Child singing the soundtrack, if you remember.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell dancing.
That's right.
Crispin Glover being skinny.
I have no recollection of him.
He's the skinny man that haunts, like, chases them and stuff like that.
Yeah. From Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dad. Borat.
Borat was on Ali G show.
Yeah, all the way back in 2000. I can't believe that Ali G show went for 4 years, and then we got the movie in 2006.
I think they did a few seasons in the UK and then came over and did some US, because Seth Rogen got some of his writing start working on the back end of Borat.
The US one was great because we knew that they didn't know what was going
on.
They weren't in on the joke. What about Buffy?
Buffy was a movie in 92.
Yeah, with Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Was in it. And
Joss Whedon wrote it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think he didn't get to direct until it was a TV show.
And the TV show was sort of late 90s, I think.
Yeah. I'd say 98, somewhere around there.
Yeah, somewhere around there. What about The Fugitive? Do you remember The Fugitive?
Fugitive was a TV show in the 70s.
In the 60s, actually, 1963, 60s. Yeah. And then was brought back as a movie.
Was there a one-armed man in the TV show, do you know? I would hope so.
But what I'm surprised about is the fact that maybe it already has, but why that hasn't been brought back as a TV show again.
Sure.
With all these remakes, maybe it's on the cards.
I think there's got to be, because there was a Fugitive 2.
Yeah, there
more
was.
More Fugitive there.
That's right, no. Okay, what about this one? Parenthood. Do you remember Parenthood?
Fuck yeah.
Great movie.
One of Lynn's favourite movies.
Oh, one of my favourites.
So that was a movie and then TV show after.
Yeah, funnily enough, I had no idea it was even a TV show, but Leonardo DiCaprio took the role that Joaquin Phoenix had in the movie.
Sure.
It was only, 89 was the movie, and then they tried the TV show in 1990, and obviously it didn't last very long. He must have gone on to Growing Pains after that.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah, great movie. Still like that movie. All right, what about this one, the final one, Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Oh, that's got to be movie.
Movie first in 86, and then they tried to make it into a TV show in the 90s. It starred Charlie Shatler, who played Kylie Minogue's love interest in the Delinquents movie. And he's got the face and you're like, oh, yeah, you were in stuff around that era. But, you know, Jennifer Grey, she was replaced in the TV show by another Jennifer, whose last name is Aniston.
Oh, there you go.
And I saw the whole first episode of the show on YouTube, and it was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad?
Yeah, apparently what rubbed people the wrong way was in the first scene of the TV show, you've got the new Ferris Bueller. He brings out a cardboard cutout, life-size cardboard cutout of Matthew Broderick, and chainsaws his head off. And he's like, I'm the real Ferris Bueller. And then they went on from there. Yeah, exactly. It was all a bit of a... I think you got 6 for 6 there.
Nice.
Well done.
Came to play.
Yeah, you did.
Came to play.
Well, see how you go next week when we do another quiz, which we haven't thought about yet.
No, but we might have a guest.
Which will be very exciting.
Yeah, so we mix it up.
Yeah, we've got guests coming.
Yeah.
Lots of new guests, and we'll have some of the, what would you call them? We call them regulars?
Sure.
We've only been here once, but they're coming back. Yeah, they'll become regulars. Tom, thank you very much.
Aloha.
I should have said mahalo. Aloha means hello. Mahalo means thank you, but also kind of goodbye.
Next time.
Next time.